Our second New Testament reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Listen for the word of God. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word and also for this warm building that we can worship in here in Benton Harbor. Help us to see anew your love and faithfulness this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week I posted on Facebook that people threatening me with violence if I don't deny Jesus, I've been asked to remove my mask. Is that okay with everyone? I think I'm at least 18 feet away from anyone, so that should keep most of y'all safe, right? Okay. Posted on Facebook that people threatening me with violence if I don't deny Jesus has proven to be much less of a problem than I was led to expect growing up. Seriously, there were movies about the end of the world where people were condemned to death unless they denied Jesus. Y'all didn't see those movies. I saw those movies growing up. I think Kristen told me that her youth group played a game. It was a weird game where, like, the youth got picked up and the adults would, like, put them in a room and, like, threaten them to, like, if you need to deny Jesus. And, yeah, seriously, it was supposed to be preparation for that in case it did happen, but maybe this is just an America thing, but so far nobody has, like, tried to get me to deny Jesus. We read portions from a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anybody heard of that one? It's a delightful book. It talks about the horrible, gruesome ways that Christians in the past were tortured or killed because they wouldn't renounce Jesus. There was a modern update called Jesus Freak, sort of the updated edition. Kristen's email at one point was started with Jesus Freak. So we were taught to be a little worried that people were going to ask us to deny Jesus. The closest I ever got to it was, have y'all seen those posts on Facebook? Maybe some of you haven't. And they're like, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. If you're a Christian and you love Jesus, share this post, because Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before God. So if you don't share this post, you're denying Jesus. Y'all seen those? I think I may have shared it like the first time I saw it. Maybe. I don't remember if I did, but I just scroll right past. It's awkward. It's like that's the closest that I've ever come to denying Jesus, I think, is just not share that post. Because I hate a chain letter. But this thing about denying Jesus shows up over and over and over in the Bible and in the early church about how important it is to not deny Jesus. The line about if we deny him, he will deny us, that song, that's what people believe. If you have like a traditional Bible, that shows up sort of in poetry lines, you know, the poetry indentation. Because people believe it was an early hymn of the early church. And maybe in the first century, yeah, there was a lot of persecution. A lot of people would have been demanding that people renounce Jesus. It was a much bigger thing than it is now. There was actually a whole church council about it. There was a persecution and some priests and bishops, the ruler would ask them to turn over their Bibles as a repudiation of Christ, and some of them did it under threat of torture. And then the persecution ended, and those people went back to their jobs as pastor or as priests and bishops, and they were baptizing people and giving them the sacraments. And other people came along, and they were like, "Y'all denied Christ. Do you remember that? You denied Christ, and now you're baptizing people and giving them communion. Everyone that you baptize needs to get baptized again because your baptism doesn't count." Seriously, that was a whole thing that the church had an argument about. But we don't have that kind of persecution, especially in the white American Christian church today. Like, worst case, absolute worst case, if you're in school, maybe you have some peer pressure and you're sort of maybe feel embarrassed about Jesus, embarrassed to say that you're a Christian. Maybe, I don't know. I didn't go to public school. Nobody threatened me to deny Jesus. But I thought for a long time about how does this map onto our present day and age, and I couldn't really think of anything, at least in this country, for you and me here. You know, there are some people who've chosen to walk away from the faith. You might say that they've denied Christ, but off the top of my head, doesn't seem to be a big problem. Except for that part at the bottom that I did find scary as an adult. Like, when I was growing up, if we deny him, he will deny us. Like, what if you, like, accidentally deny Jesus? Or, like, what if there's, like, some kind of horrible pressure? You know, I didn't want Jesus to reject me. I still don't. But that childhood fear, you know, that we were taught with the Fox's Book of Martyrs and all that, wasn't that I would be tortured, but that I would give in and deny Christ, and then Christ would deny me, and then I'd go to hell. You know. Perfectly normal, reasonable things for small children to be afraid of. When we talked about this passage in the Tuesday morning Bible study, nobody really liked that part about if we deny him, he'll deny us, because it didn't really sound like the Jesus that we knew. It doesn't even sound like Jesus who's portrayed in the next line, "If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." I know a lot of you have probably been through situations in your life, maybe most of you, that have been more challenging to your faith than I have with mine. But here we are with whatever little or great faith we have. I'm not a great Christian. I grew up listening to stories of great Christians. My dad wanted me to read biographies about great Christians, and I'm not one of them. I don't always love God with my whole heart, and I don't always love my neighbor as myself. And I say always as though I'm, like, really close. But, you know, the things I was taught growing up that are supposed to make you a good Christian, I don't always do them. Some of them I don't do at all, because I was like, I don't think that makes you a good Christian. I've questioned beliefs that you weren't allowed to question, asked questions you weren't allowed to ask. Spent long periods of time so deep in doubt I wasn't sure I believed in God at all. But I keep coming back to that stone with the water coming out of it that we talked about a few weeks ago. I keep coming back to Jesus. Something I learned about maybe 15 years ago is that my faithfulness to God is not nearly as important as God's faithfulness to me. That line in this morning's scripture, "If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself." I still remember worrying that I was maybe one day going to get so far away from God that I wouldn't come back. And then I heard that beautiful Rich Mullen song, Sometimes by Step, and it has this incredible line where he says, "I may falter in my steps, but never beyond your reach. I may falter in my steps, but never beyond your reach." That the thing was never about my ability to get back to God, because I was never out of God's reach in the first place. Every time we turn around, God's there waiting, running for us. You know, like sometimes when we're out in public, I'll let Ryan or Micah, like, wander away, and they'll think that they've, like, wandered off, and I'll be, let's say 95% of the time, I'll be sort of right behind them, so when they turn around and look for me, I'm there. There was that one time at the Allegan County Fair, but Ryan didn't freak out. He found his way back. But wherever we wander, the second we turn around looking for God, God is there. But there's still that line about if we deny him, he'll deny us, right? I always get stuck on stuff like that. So I did some more thinking about it, and I asked myself, is there anyone who in the Bible is famous for denying Jesus? Anybody remember? Judas? Judas definitely denied Jesus. Judas specifically betrayed Jesus. But when someone asked, aren't you with Jesus? Oh, I heard Peter. Yeah, it's Peter. He denies that he knows Jesus three times. And what's really interesting is that Peter denying Jesus shows up in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they don't all share all the same stories in all the same way. Like, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic Gospels that sort of generally mostly share the same stuff, and Luke, John has all kinds of separate content that's just, this is not in the other Gospels, and there's a lot of stuff in the other Gospels that's not in John, but they all have Peter denying Jesus, all four Gospels. Matthew especially is interesting here because Matthew is the only Gospel that records the saying that Kim read, the one that shows up in the chain letters, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That line only appears in Matthew. And then in Matthew's gospel, after Peter denies Jesus, Peter is never mentioned by name again. Now, granted, he shows up as like one of the 11 later, but he never shows up again. Because Matthew has some content that's a little different because Matthew's community... people believe the people Matthew was writing to were sort of Jewish Christians who were perhaps more tempted to deny Christ. But, you know, it's a theme. It's throughout. In the other Gospels, Peter's story ends very differently. Mark 16:7. Mark, as you know, is the shortest Gospel. Doesn't waste any words. You know, if there's a way to say it quicker in Mark... it's because Mark hasn't figured out what it was. But in Mark 16:7, after Peter betrays Jesus, Jesus says, tell my disciples that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. It's actually not what it says. It says, tell my disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Like, after betraying Jesus, Peter is the only disciple that Jesus mentions by name. He's like, tell my disciples and make sure you don't leave out Peter, who denied me three times. In Luke 24, the other disciples, after the resurrection, think that the women who went to the tomb are telling an idle tale about the resurrection. Pardon me for the frog in my throat. I do have a sore throat. But Peter is the only one who gets up and runs to the tomb in Luke. Peter, who denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times in all four Gospels, is the only one who gets up and runs to the tomb and is amazed. And in John, y'all know the version, y'all know John's version? Even after denying Jesus three times, Peter goes to the tomb. It says that John got there first, but Peter is the one who goes in. Peter goes into the tomb and looks. Jesus appears to them in the upper room twice, I believe, in John. And then there's that incident on the fishing boat where even after denying Jesus three times, Jesus comes back and he has this extended conversation with Peter about, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Jesus says, you know that I love you. And it goes back and forth. Jesus says, feed my sheep. After Peter denies Jesus, Jesus comes back and asks, do you love me? After that story of Peter denying Jesus is completely done and over, after he's denied three times that he knows Jesus, he's sort of finalized his denials, Jesus is officially pronounced dead by professional executioners, Jesus comes back, asks if he loves him, and says, "Feed my sheep." Offers him a position in the kingdom. Remember those bishops and priests I mentioned earlier who denied Jesus, who turned over their scriptures? There was a group of people who did not agree, or who thought that they should, what they did was not valid. Those people were a group that they were called the Donatists. The Donatists were the ones saying, y'all denied Jesus, your communion, all that stuff that you did, that doesn't count. And if you'd been anywhere near a church history class, you'd know that the Donatists, Donatism was an early church heresy. The Donatists said, y'all can't do that. Your baptism, it's not valid, it doesn't count because you denied Jesus. And the rest of the church said, no, we're not with them, they're heretics. Those people who say that your baptism doesn't count, they're wrong. Seriously, it was a whole big fight. Like, I still remember that from my church history class. So like, but these people denied Jesus. And the church was like, yeah, still counts. Sorry. And if you don't agree with us, you're wrong. The church decided what was more important was that the person being baptized believed it and received it as a sacrament, and that the action was more important than the priest who denied Jesus, than their personal sins and failures. Because if we had to be perfect, who would be still in the church? Anybody? I don't see any hands, but if you're tempted to put your hand up, you can just put it right back down. If we had to be perfect, who'd be in the church? I wouldn't. Peter would not have been the first bishop of Rome. Because this whole time we thought that it was about us and what we do, when it's always been about God and what God does. And God will always be faithful. And I don't know how to interpret that. If we deny him, he will deny us passage. But I do know that Peter denied Jesus three times in all four Gospels. And he got invited back into the kingdom. I know that the Donatists said, you denied Jesus, that doesn't count, your faith, you need to get baptized again, and the church said, hold on, you're wrong. What I do know, I definitely don't have any confusion about, is that last line, if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray. God, thank you for your faithfulness, that being faithless would be a denial of who you are. Help us to trust in your love and faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.